Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Happy Sunday night. Today is May Day, May 1st. Yay, yay, yay. And this is Ann Ortley on the Weekly Weather, broadcast from here, my bright red desk in the beautiful Isle of Manhattan, in the state of New York, in the country of the United States of America, on planet Earth. How's that for an intro? We're trying to class the place up a little. We had a big weekend of spring cleaning, which is always very virtuous feelings, and today it's raining and gorgeous outside, even though it's a little misty and rainy. It's going to say April showers being May flowers, but it's May, so I guess this is May rain. What do May flowers bring? Pilgrims! I know, really bad joke. I always thought it was pretty funny. At any rate, here we are on May 1st at the cross-quarter day. This is also called Beltane. And this is the point of the time when we're halfway between spring and summer. So spring started with the Aries ingress on March 21st, and summer starts with the summer solstice ingress into Cancer on June 21st. And if you count the days, we're halfway between, and we're at May Day, Beltane. And in the old days, they used to go get naked in the fields. Now, it's a little cold out there today. It's 40 degrees. So while I did sit for a little while outside, just because it's Beltane and I should be outdoors, getting naked I didn't get naked, and I sat under a little cover thing, so I just watched the rain fall. But I thought about it. So we are here to celebrate the abundance of life, and this is going to be an abundant, interesting month ahead and an abundant, interesting week ahead for a few reasons. We have a new moon in Taurus, and it is a particularly fertile moon. And you're going to find the first 3 weeks of May very, very busy and very earthy, because now all of a sudden, there's a lot of planets in Earth. They've been shifting. There are no planets in air. There's just one little representative in the sun, in air, and you know, it's not a big planet. So when there's only one point in air, we kind of go, wow. Actually, there's no points in air. It's the midheaven of the new moon chart is in air. But there's nothing in air, okay? So with no air, words are hard to find, and we miss them. We realize we mourn them, essentially, because we have a lot of Earth, 9 planets in Earth, and we have 6 planets in fire and 6 planets in water. So that's a lot of Earth, fire, and water energy, no air. So you may find yourself at a loss of words. Additionally, Mercury is retrograde. So when Mercury is retrograde, communications do tend to get bollocked up, or better yet, they reveal things. Mercury, when he's in his retrograde, he's a trickster, you know, he's the messenger of the gods. So he brings you messages. And a lot of people I know have been getting messages, not always messages they want to hear, but messages nonetheless. So with Mercury stopped in the sky last week, and now he's going backwards. He's very juicy, because he's also, in addition to being in lovely, fertile Earth, which, of course, he can't talk when, you know, you put your face in the ground and yell into the pillow, right? That's kind of what Mercury's doing. He's like, put your face in a pile of dirt and yell into it. That's how good it is to communicate. Or that old thing where, I don't remember if it was Sophocles or Aristotle, said put rocks in your mouth and learn to speak and it'll make you a better orator. But Mercury in an Earth sign doesn't talk. It's somber. It's solid. It's a fixed Earth sign, too. But he's retrograde, so he's not talking. And he's going backwards. And he is in a grand trine with 2 other guys in the sky who are also going backwards, Jupiter and Pluto. So Jupiter's in an Earth sign, Virgo. And Pluto's in an Earth sign, Capricorn. So we have triple Earth in this big triangle in the sky. Imagine all the Earth trines, all the Earth planets are talking to each other. So as they communicate, they give us information. Now, interestingly, Mercury stationed at 23 Taurus, which is a hot degree. We've been talking about this a little bit. 23 Taurus is opposite that 23 Scorpio, where Mars is going to station at the end of June. And that's where Saturn stationed twice in 14, in February, March of 14, and then in October, November of 14. So Mars is there. Remember, we were talking about Mars last couple weeks on a cleanup mission, cleaning up stuff that's unresolved. Mercury's now opposite that point. So Mercury is telling the stories. He is telling the tales. We are finding out stuff we did not know. And maybe we don't want to know, you know, because it's kind of maybe going to change how we feel about things, because Mercury's in an Earth sign. And so when he's in an Earth sign, we don't often feel that he tells us quite what we want to hear, you know, because he's practical, reliable, down to earth, earthy. He's not going to lie to you when he's in Taurus, but you might not want to know it, right? So that's okay, but it's a grand trine. What grand trines are designed to do is to create things and also to release things. So we've been running here on the Ann Ortley podcast, so I have more time to do my writing. We've been running new moon webinars, you know, because to do the webinars, and then I get an extra chunk of writing time because the webinars pay for readings I don't do, because I have to pay salaries and all that sort of stuff. So we're going to have a new moon webinar this Friday. Well, we're having it on Wednesday night, the 4th, for Friday, the new moon on Friday the 5th. And this is a particularly fertile new moon because the moon is at 16, also in the grand trine. So the sun and the moon and Mercury are all going to be trining Pluto and Jupiter. And they're all in the 8th house of deep, profound, fast-moving change, right? The 8th house is the house. Somebody said this to me, and I thought it was, I had lunch with my friend Kathy today at Atlantic Grill, really good seafood cob. Yum, yum, and some sushi. And she had gone to an astrologer up in Rhinebeck, I believe, near Omega, or Woodstock, someplace north. And the woman referred to the 8th house as the house of speedy change, fast change. And I thought that was a really interesting observation, because the 8th house, of course, is, you know, where we have sex. It's where we create things. But it is the house where change goes to happen. You know, when something falls in the swamp of our inner world and we kind of hang out with the swamp for a little bit, we have these profound and deep changes. So think of this week as this new moon is going to take place, at least on the East Coast, in the 8th house of profound change, profound and speedy, fast change. Interesting, because Scorpio doesn't move fast. The water doesn't move fast. The swamp doesn't move fast. But, you know, if you fall in a swamp, you know about it. I remember one time I was up at Wendy Ashley's, who's another brilliant astrologer in Maine, and we were jumping off this houseboat into the river. And she said, "Now watch out for the eels." And I kind of went, "Eels?" She goes, "Yeah, this is where the eels come to breed." And I'm like, "Oh, you know, this isn't, you know, it's not something you should have told me." I got out of the boat and sat for the rest of the weekend with my feet in the water. Not a big eel girl. I have Saturn in Scorpio, don't like eels. But it's an understanding of we're all going through this profound change. And this grand trine in Earth, this is earthquakes moving, babies. You are going to be having earthquakes in your life. And so wherever the earthquake is, Mercury's leading the pack because he's retrograde and he's bringing to the story what we need to do. This is landslide time. This is profound shaking of the foundation of your life. Adding to the story is Vesta's in the mix. She's up there at 25 Taurus. So this new moon that we're having on the 6th is a profound moon of new change. So sign up for the webinar if you want. On the 4th, it's available on my website. And even if you don't sign up for the webinar, I do want you to sit and take time on the Taurus moon on Friday or Saturday or Sunday or Monday, because we can do it through the crescent and say, okay, what is the profound change I'm trying to make? And what is being revealed to me to tell me how to make the change? Remember, with all the planets in the sky retrograde, there's been a lot of stuff. And I encourage you to get out there and read the internet. Not all of it's good, but a lot of it's interesting, and you get a lot of different opinions. And there's 5 planets retrograde right now, plus a couple asteroids, right? So with all these planets moving backwards, and the personal planets are moving forward, of course, except for Mercury and Mars, they're backwards. Saturn's backwards, Jupiter's backwards, Pluto's backwards, Juno's backwards, Mercury's backwards. So all of these areas of our life we're being asked to look at and figure out what's what we want to revise, revisit, redo, or perhaps change. So we want to look and think about, okay, Mercury rules your communication, and he rules your Virgo and your Gemini houses. So whatever those houses are, looking for a shift and a change. Jupiter rules your writing and your communication and your relationships to others, and he wants to re-indicate a change. Juno rules your marriages and your partnerships. Doesn't rule houses, but it's involved with those. So what are the relationships you want to revise? Mars rules how you move forward in your Aries house. I'm sorry, I meant to leave Jupiter. I didn't mean to leave Jupiter out there. Sorry, Jupiter. He rules your Pisces and your Sag houses. Mars rules your Aries and your Scorpio houses. So he's saying, okay, let's go back and work in those houses. And then Saturn rules your Aquarius and your Capricorn houses. So really the only houses that aren't going backwards right now is the house ruled by your Sun, which is the Leo house, the one ruled by your Moon, and the one ruled by Venus, which is your Taurus and your Libra houses. The rest of your chart is going backwards. So four houses are trying to go forward, and the other ones are going backwards. So somebody described this as, you know, pedaling into a headwind, you know, driving into a headwind. And I think, you know, thinking of that as an energy vision is helpful, but also recognizing, hey, maybe it is time to go backwards. Maybe it is time to go back and finish up the unfinished, resolve the undone. What hasn't been done in your life? Because all these retrograde planets do encourage us to look back and to say, okay, let me understand on a profound level what I need to do. You know, so in my life, you know, we've been making a lot of changes with the website, and kind of the mix of the practice and figuring out, you know, how do I get more time to write the book and do more writing. And so the column has kind of taken a hit. And it's been, I'm really saying, you know, it's been very infrequently published since last fall, last September, kind of August-y time frame. Because I got an email from a woman who shares my birthday, and she goes, oh, does this mean the column's going away forever? And I'm like, no. And then, of course, it appears that the column went away for a while. She's pretty psychic. And shout out to Kathy. And so then I went, okay, let me think about that. And so I've kind of been working on it and figuring different ways, and it's kind of feeling like it's getting ready to be born again. And of course it's 9 months, you know. And I was talking to Kathy, she's a nurse, she's actually the head of nursing at New York Hospital, and she of baby nursing. And she was saying, yeah, there's a lot of babies born in the spring. You know, people make a lot, you know, she was talking how busy it was at work. A lot of babies then. And then there's a lot of babies that come in the fall, which are, of course, the Christmas present babies, you know, the present you give yourself. I was a fall baby. My parents conceived me on the first shot, and I know that. Probably too much information, but it was time. Yeah, let's make a baby. And they did. And then I was born in September. So, but apparently this is a big time, and it's a big time for twins, interestingly, as she's an astrologer too. A lot of twins are born in the twin time. So we're fertile, we're abundant, we're wanting to give birth to something. But also before we give birth to anything, we have to clean out those pots. We have to clean out those gardens. We have to go in and say, okay, what do we need to let go of here? What do we need to know about to be able to move forward? So I want you to think of this month, because the first part of the month is very earthy. We get a lot done. Back half of the month, crazy-assed, and very mean at the end of the month. So this first part is really about coming to terms with things and grounding things because of so much earth. And then when all the planets switch into Gemini, we've got a bunch of really hard aspects forming. And then we get it together at the beginning of June, but the last 2 weeks of May are tough. So this first 3 weeks, get everything moving. Then when we get to the back end, it gets crazy, and then it solidifies again by the beginning of June. So kind of think of this as you really have a fertile, productive time. Now, because it is Taurus, everything's going to go slow, okay? Nothing fast, not a fast remote. Please, darling, you got to stop. He just, you know, he comes and visits. I sit there on the couch reading a book, quietly, nice. And we could have pet it all afternoon, but no, you were at the other end of the couch. Now that I'm talking, you want me to pet you. Yes, he's such a little nudge, Scorpio moon that he is. So our job with all this earth is to know that we want to physically experience it, and we need to make physical changes. And this new moon on Friday is fabulous for physical changes because it has this grand trine in Earth with the node of fate, Jupiter, Pluto, the sun, the moon, Mercury, and Vesta. Right? And then at the end of the month, we're going to have Venus in the grand trine on the full moon. On Kaput Algol, you know, so you might lose your head or you might be really, really crabby, but it's still, you know, still good. All good. Remember, all this stuff is to help us get to where we're going next. That's the way you have to think about it. It's not about, you're not being punished. You're here to learn something new. And this is when you're going to learn it with Mercury retrograde, opposite the stationing points. So watch for reveals. If your old people come back, remember, Mercury retrograde is big for the ghosts. The ghosts come back from our past, and they go, hi, and of course Mars is retrograde, so our exes are coming back. It can be kind of a parade of exes and people that we don't talk to anymore or we haven't talked to in a long time. And our job is to say, okay, you know, what are you here for? What do you want to talk to me about? And then to have that chat. And that's the best way to do it, okay? So, Remo, you're driving me crazy, babe. You got to get down. Can't see my screen when you put your butt against it. See, the real issue with this, and it's not a huge issue, but it is an issue. I have a touch-sensitive screen, which is really nice, except when there's a cattail that touches it, and it moves the screen, and then I can't see what I'm talking about. Eh, whatever. He doesn't care. He's a cat. And here he comes back again. I pushed him on the floor, and now he's back on the desk. This is the cat came back, and you just came right back. Yes, hi, I see you. All right, so our week ahead, we're going to be working in May. We have Beltane today. Try and get naked, okay? You're supposed to celebrate this feast of fertility and this feast of creation. And today is, of course, May Day. And we had earlier a nice sun next sextile Neptune. And here on the East Coast, we've had a nice rainy, kind of mellow, soft day. So the moon is in Pisces right now, and it's going to be in Pisces. Oh, get your pens and pencils ready. Here comes the moons. Here come the moons. So the moon is in Pisces on Monday, and it's in Pisces Monday night, and it goes void at 1:04 in the morning on Tuesday. And it goes void with a sextile to Mercury. So it's a great time for contracts, negotiations, agreeing to things. I know it's Mercury retrograde. They say don't enter into contracts. You don't stop living. You just know it's going to be a little different than what you thought it was going to be. Obviously, if you can avoid signing a contract till the end of the month, do so, but you probably aren't going to be able to. And it ends with a sextile to Mercury, Moon and Mercury, and because Mercury's in Taurus, so fertile Earth. The Moon is void all day on Tuesday, and it goes, well, not all day, all morning on Tuesday, and it goes into Aries at 1:04 p.m., on Tuesday afternoon, and it's in Aries Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it goes void bright and early Thursday morning at 12:17 a.m. with a conjunction to Uranus, Moon conjunct Uranus, fire explosions, right? Aha moments, things you hadn't seen before. Then it's void in the morning on Thursday, and then it goes into Taurus at 1:10 p.m. Thursday afternoon, and it's in Taurus Thursday afternoon, Friday, or Thursday afternoon, evening, and Friday all day, going void at 10:10 p.m. on Friday night, and that's going void with a conjunction to Mercury, Moon joins Mercury, last degree. And then it goes into, it's void Friday night, and it's void Saturday morning. Getting the picture this week, Tuesday morning, Thursday morning, Saturday morning, moons are void. Okay, so those are your times to do void moon things, which is working on things that aren't necessarily important, but that need to be done. No initiating, no buying groceries, stuff like that. Well, the groceries will rot in your refrigerator. I have learned this many, many times. But sometimes I just, you know, I don't know, whatever. It goes into Gemini on Saturday at 12:34, and it's in Gemini Saturday afternoon, Sunday, all day Sunday and Saturday night. And then it goes void at 12:15. At night, and it goes void with a sextile to Uranus, and then it's void on Monday morning until 1:24 p.m. when it enters Cancer. All right. Now, what is also happening is Mercury, if you follow along and you have the little Jim Maynard's calendar, you'll notice that next week Mercury and the Sun are combust. This is a little bit longer Mercury retrograde than we usually have. What's happening astronomically is Mercury is transiting near his node. And somebody said this to me the other day. They were all upset because they didn't realize that planets had nodes. And I'm like, but the nodes don't move. You know, they're very slow. And they go, I didn't even know planets had nodes. I'm like, well, the moon has a node. And they were like, yeah. I said, so didn't you wonder why there weren't nodes for other things? No. I was like, okay. I think they'd lost a bet on them. But anyway, every planet in its rotation around the sun and its relationship to Earth has a node. And you can find this in your solar fire. The nodes are all listed there, where the nodes are on your any given day and any given chart. And they don't move very fast. They're pretty pokey because the planets are not that fast. But when a planet comes to one of its nodes, it tends to be bigger news, you know, kind of like an eclipse when the sun and the moon happen. So this Mercury retrograde, Mercury's coming to his node and going to be in it. And, you know, when they hit the nodes, it's also called occultation. We, you know, we'll see it with a little black dot in our calendar. And it says to us, that little black dot, that means the moon is going to make, the planet's going to have a bigger deal. A bigger, think of the little black dots as a big deal, okay? And it's because they're lining up on the same declination, and they're going into their nodes. So they're connecting, they're aligning with each other, which makes them bigger, makes it bigger. So that means the news you're going to hear is really big, right? Really big news. So just know that we're working on this really big news story this week as we go through this. And, of course, the moons are positive. Pisces moon is all about the other person, Monday, Tuesday. Aries is about you, Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday, and what you want, Thursday morning, but void Thursday morning. Taurus moon is what's of value to you, Thursday afternoon, Friday, and then early Saturday morning, but again, void. And then Gemini, how you communicate, share, connect, the 7th and the 8th. And then it goes into Cancer, which is how we nurture. So wherever those moons, the moon is going in your chart, and they're all positive endings. They're a little exciting because in some cases they're hanging out with Uranus. But we do expect shocking news under this Mercury retrograde. And shocking news that leaves us speechless, right? Because there's no air in the sky. People just can't wrap their heads around it. It's just hard to come up with words, right? It's just you kind of go, words fail me. And so if you find you're in that place, do physical things, because the physical things will help you express it and perhaps might even help you articulate what it is you're trying to express or what you're trying to feel. But you may find there are no words. And truthfully, with this much earth in the air, in the heavens above, your job is to have it be physical, you know, to make it be grounded physically. Get some crystals, go lay on a rock, go look at the sky, go sit by the river. Do this, get yourself out into nature and ground through natural means, through nature, through physical means. You know, sometimes there's nothing more invigorating than a good spring cleaning where you clean everything. And that's why we call it spring cleaning. You know, we're shaking off the doldrums of the fall and the winter, and we're now back into the new growing season, cleaning out the garden, literally, so to speak, so things can grow. So that is the excitement. There is a new moon webinar on Wednesday night, and it will be for Friday's new moon in Taurus, which is probably one of the most fertile moons you're ever going to see, really, really fertile. So it's a big, big month to kind of push stuff. So in my case, it's the reinitiation of the column. In saying, okay, I figured out what I want to do with it now. And I think, I've been writing it for 12 years, so it was kind of, I had a pregnancy, really, from last September to now, if you count, it's 9 months, and 10 months, whatever. And I've kind of come up with a way I want to approach it going forward. So it's going to be a little bit different, and for those of you who are fans of it and have missed it, it will be back, but it'll be modified because my process is shifting. I know my process is shifting. I can feel it. My whole life is shifting, which is good. Not complaining, but I'm happy to be alive, happy to be on planet Earth at this time, but also just aware of, you can't do it if you can't do it. And if you can do it, you can do it. And that's really the motto of the week. Okay, can't do it, can't do it, can do it, can do it. Otherwise, just kind of go, well, maybe next week. So the sun this week in lovely Taurus is running in the middle decant, which is the Virgo decant. There's probably why I'm feeling like inspired to do the column. 11 to 17 Taurus. And the sun, of course, talks to Neptune today, which is about figuring out what the new dream is. And then he has a lovely trine to Jupiter on the 3rd of May, and it's an Earth trine. He kind of goes, okay, let's complete this trine. And then that happens once a year, but it's a nice fertile Earth trine. And then he has a quintile to Pallas Athena on the 3rd. And that gives him a new vision, a new understanding of stuff. Now, Pallas Athena, of course, is in a wordless sign right now. She's in an emotional sign. She's in Pisces. So it's going to be an emotional understanding, an emotional aha. Saturn further has an inconjunct to Saturn. Sun, rather, has an inconjunct to Saturn on the 5th of May. And that's a little tougher because it requires that he adjust and he shift something that he maybe liked. And it's a psychological adjustment about freedom versus safety. Okay, and a lot of times we have trouble when we're asked to pick between freedom and safety, but we are. And then the next day, he has an inconjunct on the 7th to Zeus, and it's in Libra. So Zeus says, how are you going to partner with safety to get your freedom, right? So you're going to watch this. It's really interesting energies that we're running with here. And then, of course, at the end of the week, the sun trines Pluto at 17 trining Pluto. So the sun is going to come into this grand trine that Mercury, Jupiter, and Pluto have formed in the heavens. And as Mercury is holding the place, the sun's going to come in and first aspect Jupiter and say, so Jupiter, what do you know? And then he's going to aspect Pluto. What do you know? Jupiter and Pluto are the brothers, okay? So we're going to see a lot of news about brothers fighting. You know, before I was lying down and reading a couple books and listening to the radio and, you know, listening to the politics, of course, it happens on Sunday. And, you know, listening to this one say this about that one and this one say this about that one, and I'm kind of like, brothers. It's like brothers fighting, you know. And I'm best. No, I'm best. And that we're going to watch for that this week because the sun's going to come to both of the brothers and say, so talk to me. And he's in the position of the negotiator. He's over there on the trine. Mercury, of course, we've talked about his retrograde journey. But this week on, he links up with Vesta, which is why you felt compelled to clean your house today. And tomorrow, too, lest you think it's over. You got another day you can clean tomorrow. And he is zipping along at a very slow pace. Zipping is not his word right now. He goes from 23 Taurus to 20 Taurus. But so he's moving into the grand trine. You know, he's moving back into it and tightening the trine up because he's going to go past these guys three times. So he had the first as he went by, and then he's going to come back, and then he's going to go over. Plus, he's going to hit his node, and he's going to tell you really big stories. So watch for the news you get on this Mercury retrograde. It's very big. And, of course, it's public news because Mercury's station degree is 15 of Taurus, which is the world axis. So we're going to hear some really big news. We all hear it. And then Mercury aspects his nodes of fate on the 8th of May. And gives us information. Venus is going quickly. She's 1 to 9 Taurus, so she's pretty speedy. She has an argument on the 4th of May, so you may have a breakup with someone and an ending of a relationship. If so, let it go. She also has an argument with Mars on the 5th. A tough week for relationships, 4th and 5th. People are in the mood to be crabby. And on the 7th, she's feeling kind of wounded. Because she has a hard aspect with Chiron. Mars trines Jupiter, or Ceres, which is all about creative, on the 3rd, and he argues on the 5th. So argues on the 5th. We've seen a few argues on the 5th. We got a few of them. Lilith is active. Don't go dissing the feminine. They're going to hit you. Uranus is contraparallel Neptune. This is kind of unexpected water. So watch for floods and water breaks, and that's on the 4th, and, of course, the day before and the day after. And then that's the really kind of the highlight of the week. we have a bunch of parallels in the sky. What parallels do, they're not perfecting this week, but they do make the world be a little more intense. And then last but not least, Chiron sextiles Vesta on the 2nd. Make your home a nest. Make your home a nest. You need a nest now from the world. And on that note, the British lady says, I'm cooked. The show is over. Wish you a lovely week, and watch for the weekly weather column. Take care. Bye-bye. It's Ann Ortley signing off from the weekly weather and the bright red desk on a rainy Sunday. Bye.